I went to Bible college, there was a great man of God, a staff evangelist by the name of Tom Williams. And I remember he said that, he told us young preacher boys, he said, I was reading about these great men of God, and I found out that they got up early every morning, and I determined that I would get up early in the morning and realize that the sun comes up gradually every morning. And he said, I was so wiped out, I couldn't take it. I had no strength after getting up early in the morning. He said, I thought I'd check more of those great men of God. And he said, you know what I found out? We said, what, Brother Tom? He said, they went to bed early. And so it's good to know that. I think of my wife. She works very hard. She has a very busy schedule. And she's doing stuff. And sometimes she looks very tired. And then she'll tell me, you know, I only got 2 nights sleep this week. Or 3 nights sleep this week. Thank God she slept last night. Amen. But you need sleep. And you got to get to sleep at night in order to be able to have the strength to get through the day. I think of our secretary, my former secretary, Rolaine Wolf. About 26 years, she got up and answered the bell. Took our ministry here from a shoebox up in her apartment on Bangor into the office here over 26 years and helped to build this work here. And thank God for her. But there came a day when she got cancer. And it began to go through her body, and she could no longer get up when the bell sounded, no longer come into the fight with the preacher. She failed to perform due to a lack of strength, and she couldn't go on anymore. I'm thinking tonight about fatigue and time pressure. How many have experienced fatigue and time pressure? Yes, we have experienced that. That's not the nub of the sermon, but it's involved in it. And I'm thinking about it, and as I think about my life, I don't really have much fatigue. I have a lot of energy, a lot of energy. And perhaps it's because of the way I've eaten and then supplements that I take. Energy supplements. I really believe that. It really helps me against sickness. I just come through all these sicknesses and I'm giving God the glory. He's given me that help to do that. So I don't have a lot of fatigue. I do have time pressure. Always under the gun. Always under the gun. Never not that time pressure. Although we do have breaks and thank God for them, we need them to recharge. And so I don't believe that, and I want to say this tonight, I don't believe that we ever need to fail and fall down on the job due to spiritual weakness and weariness. Maybe physical, and that's in God's hands. But we never need to fail and fall down on the job due to spiritual weakness, where we can't meet the challenge, where we can't step up to the plate, spiritually speaking. And so tonight, I'm asking if you will turn to Isaiah chapter 40, and I want to preach an expository message tonight on verses 28 through 31 of Isaiah 40. And the name of the message is how you can avoid failing from weariness or weakness. And I'm thinking spiritually. How you can avoid failing due to weariness or spiritual weakness in your life. And I want to say, number one, that you can avoid failing by your knowing that the Lord never gets weary. Look with me at verse number 28 of Isaiah 40. I'll read it. You follow. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. I remember my wife's sister telling me as a young lady, she fainted in the shower. She'd stand up and get lightheaded and faint. And I've seen people faint and fall out physically. But you need to know that that's not going to happen to God. Amen? Amen. He's never going to faint. He's never going to get tired. He's never going to fail because of some kind of weakness. And notice the words in verse 28. It says, "Hast thou not known?" Hast thou not known? Now you need to know what's revealed here in Isaiah 40, 28 about God. You need to know by your knowing that the Lord never gets weary. That will help you not to fail and to give up because of weakness and weariness in your life. You need to know what the Bible says about the Lord. And how can you know the truth that's stated here in verse 28? Well, I think of what Brother Hiles said. He was preaching one time, and the guy before him was preaching, and he stood up, and he was preaching about hell. And the guy said, "We don't know what hell is really like. We don't know if it's a distant planet where it's cold and dark and we're out there. We don't know if it's like a desert island where you're shipwrecked and you get marooned on that desert island. We don't know if hell is like that." And he went on to preach his message. Brother Hiles got up and was the next speaker, and he spoke, and he said, "You know, the brother that preceded me, I can help him with those questions that he had about hell." And he said, "Pray tell, Brother Hiles, how?" He said, "Get you a Bible." And that is the truth. I believe so many people lack what they need just because they don't read. They don't read their Bible. Read is an acrostic. R stands for read. E stands for eat. A stands for assimilate what you eat. And D stands for demonstrate. And we have a Bible reading. How many of you are doing your Bible reading? Amen and amen. Well, you'll be glad to know that the message for tonight comes out of my Bible reading. And you know what? I need to read the Bible myself, and I need to know tonight that God never gets tired. Now, you say, "Well, Pastor, you know that." Yeah, but I need to be reminded of that. Amen? That God never gets tired. He's never weary, and he's never tired of what's going on. He never feels like I'm not up to it. You know, I don't have the strength to deal with it. Sometimes you feel like that. "Oh, yes, you do. I don't know. I'm not up to it. I'm not up to the challenge. I'm too tired for this. I can't take it." But not God. And so if you get in your Bible and you read it, you can see that God says, notice here, not only know it, he says, but hear it. Hear it. And you know what? We need preaching from the Bible. I had these ladies that were here today, Mama Brenda, and they were saying, some of these ladies were saying to me, "You know, we came to this church, you preach the Bible. We need this. We go to these churches and they're not preaching the Bible.
Preach it.
Have you not heard?" Well, you're not going to hear if the church doesn't preach the Bible. By the way, you need to get into a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church and get in here so you can take the Lord's table and get involved. And you need to get baptized. The Brother Jose brought a guy forward, and he said he got saved. And I started talking to him about getting baptized. He said, "No, I'm not going to get baptized." I said, "I know you're not, but I'm just telling you, you're wrong." You need to get baptized. When you get saved, you need to get baptized. And you need to get in and get into a local church and get locked in where the Bible is taught and where the Bible is preached. And you need to hear about the fact that God, the Lord, never gets weary. He's up to all the challenges that we are facing. And you need preaching on that. And we need to know that we don't have to be hopeless for America. You say, well, it looks hopeless to me. Yes, but Abraham believed in hope against hope. I'm not talking about my strength. I'm not talking about my ability. I'm talking about God's ability and faith in God and knowing that He has the power to send another revival. And there's nothing in the Bible that says He can't do it. Quite the contrary tonight. My Bible tonight says He can do it. And He will do it if we believe Him and come to Him. And He will bless us and do the work. He can make the mountain lifted up, the Bible said, and cast into the sea. And ever since that election was stolen, I have been praying, lift that mountain and cast it into the sea. And I'm still praying it. That was way back November of 2020. It's now October of 2023, about as long as the Great Tribulation, if not longer, because that's going to be cut short. But I know tonight that the Lord never gets weary. He can handle these things. And so you need to know that tonight. You need to hear that tonight when you come to church from a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. And you hear it right here in verse 28. He says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainted not, neither is weary. And so praise God for that. We're talking about how you can avoid falling and failing from weariness, from weakness. You've got to know the Lord, your God, and that He has that strength. Number two, by your knowing that the Lord gives a portion of His strength to those of you who lack it. It's all right that He has the strength. That's great to know, and that He'll deal with it. But the good news tonight to me and to you is that He has promised. He's got the person to do it, but He's made a promise to you that He will give a portion of His strength to you as you need it. You say, well, let me hear that. Look at verse 29. It says, He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. What a blessing that is. And notice in verse 28, we found out who He is. You say, who is He? He is the Lord God. Capital L-O-R-D, God. If you have a King James Bible, you know when you have capital L-O-R-D, that speaks of Jehovah, Yahweh God. And that is the God who is a God of grace and promise, and He's the covenant-making God who entered into a gracious covenant with Abraham, saying that He would bless him with the Jewish people and save them, and that He would bless the Gentile people through the Jewish people and save us. And so when you see the word Lord, that means He is your personal Savior. He's the God that saved you. He's the God of promise. And that's the Lord God that will give you strength. Well, what's about the name God? Lord is Jehovah. God is Elohim. What's Elohim? He is the Creator. And He, Brother Bob, created everything. 6 24-hour days, ex nihilo, out of nothing. He spoke and it all just came into being. If He could do that, He could do anything, you see. And He says that God, the Lord God, the Creator, the Lord, the Savior, He said, I will give you a portion of My strength. You say, who does He promise that to? Every one of you that are His children. He said, I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. And you need it. And I'm thinking of the prophet Jeremiah now. The prophet Jeremiah was a man of God. And the prophet Jeremiah, he was told by God, the Babylonians are going to come. They're going to judge Judah. They've already judged Israel, the Assyrians. Now Babylonians are going to destroy Judah. Preach to the people judgment. There is no salvation. The land is going to be taken into captivity. The Babylonians are going to have it for years and years. And Jeremiah preached that. And then Just before the judgment fell, God said, now I want you to buy some land in this land. He's like, Lord, you just said you're going to destroy the land. Now you're saying you want me to buy land and have a deed and all of that? And God said, yes. And then God gave him this word. He said, behold, I am the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, the God of all flesh. I am Jehovah, the Elohim of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? I don't care how crazy it may seem, when God tells you to do something, you do it. Because he'll back up what he tells you to do with his power. He'll give you the strength that you need. And I'm thinking of that scripture in Matthew 5. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs the kingdom of heaven. You know what the word poor there means? Blessed are the beggarly in spirit. They're begging God. They need God's strength. They need God's help. And they're begging God. They feel their weakness. They feel their need. I think of the great preacher, Dr. Robert Thomas Ketchum, a great man of God, and he was a great preacher, and he wrote a book on the armor of God, and he said when he went into the pulpit, he said, sometimes I go into the pulpit, I just feel like, man, I got this message together, I've written it out, this is going to be a message, God's going to use it, you know. And he'll get the pulpit. He said, I don't experience that. He said, but there have been times I feel like I'm not quite prepared. I've tried, but I'm weak. I go into that pulpit with weakness and in fear. He said, and then God just meets with me. He just empowers me. He uses me. And you know, that's what we see here in verse 29. He says, he giveth power to the faint and to them that what? Have no might. Listen, your problem is, why do you fail? Because you try it in your own strength. You're not operating in his strength. J. Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to China, was asked, how do you do it? You must be a strong man, strong believer. He said, no, I'm just weak enough that I get God's help and I get God's strength. That is the secret tonight. And I always wondered about this. I thought the church at Philadelphia was a small church, and that's why they had small strength. But really, if you look at church history, the Philadelphian church era were the bigger churches where people got saved and baptized, joined. It was the open door time. And so here's what it says to the church at Philadelphia. The Lord says, I know thy works. Behold, I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength. And I prayed about that, and I think I finally found what that means. What he's saying to that church is, I've given you an open door, and you're going to have people get saved, and that church is going to grow. You know why? Because you know in yourself you have little strength. But in me, you've got all the power that you need. And so tonight, I'm saying how you can avoid failing and falling down on the job from weakness and weariness. Number one, by knowing the Lord never gets weary himself. And by number two, knowing that the Lord gives you a portion of his strength. When you know that you lack it and you go to him for it, he does that. And what a blessing that is. Now, number three, how can you avoid failing and falling down on the job from weakness and weariness? Number three, by your knowing that even the strongest people get weary. Now, look what it says in verse 30. And I'll read it. It says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Do you understand that we humans get weary? The whole creation is running down, and eventually it's going to get old and die. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how good looking you are. You're going to wither up and shrivel up and die. You're going to get weaker. And you're going to get weary. I see these young people here. I thank God for young people. But you're going to get old someday if you hang around long enough, kids. You will. And it'll happen. You see, you say, well, why? God doesn't get weary. God doesn't ever get weak and fail. Why do we? Because of a little word called sin. We sinned against the Creator. And guess what? The whole creation was made by God and it's running down. God's going to have to renew it, isn't He? When's He going to do that? In the millennium. In the day of the Lord. In the millennium. He's going to renew it. But it's all running down. And it's going down. It's not evolving, it's devolving down. That's what He's saying here. No matter how young, no matter how strong, everyone is going to get weak and weary due to sin. I think of a young lady, I think of different young ladies that I've seen that have been in this church, lovely young ladies and had freshness of youth and the vibrancy of youth, and then they go out into the world and they go out away from Jesus Christ and away from God and get into the booze or get into the immorality or get into the drugs, and you see them age very quickly. It's amazing. And they get weaker. And I've seen it happen. And when I see them and I get an opportunity to talk to them, I'll say, come on back, the water's fine. Come on back, remember. Get a hold of Jesus. And if you didn't get Him the first time, get Him, because He is the vine. We're the branches. You're not going to wither and die. You'll have eternal life if you're connected to Jesus. You know, life is what animates us. And if we're connected to the Lord Jesus, He is the Prince of Life. And He infuses that life into us. And so you can know that the Lord gives His strength to those that lack it. And you can know that even the strongest, because of sin and without God, they're weary. You know, I'm seeing young people that are dropping like flies because of taking the jab. Do you know that jab, and they're trying to launch this COVID again? These are wicked people doing that. Do you know Bill Gates launched a bunch of mosquitoes on the United States? And now they're bothering them. That's one of the most wicked men alive, Bill Gates. Wicked dude. And these evil people are concocting to steal election and to control the country. And they're launching COVID. Why? So they can get people to line up and get those jabs. But those jabs are killing young people. They're dropping dead. And old people too. And I don't know how many of them you might have taken. But let me tell you, don't take any more. Don't take any more of them. Please listen to me. I never took one. And I don't intend to take any. I trust God, not government. Because the government's been captured. And so I'm just saying, I've got to speak up. And I've got to speak the truth in love. And I've got to warn people about that. And so I'm just saying, I was talking to somebody. And they were... They told me some young person died. A young lady just dropped dead, about 30 years old. And I said, well, you know, the jab is causing... She said it was something with the heart that she dropped dead of. And I said, you know, the jab is causing a heart condition called myocarditis. She said that's what she died of. Even the young people, because of sin, because of the devil, are going to get weak and get weary and fail. And, you know, I want to say something. There are certain people that will sap your spiritual energy. Or certain activities, like video games, that can sap your spiritual energy. You need to get rid of any sin or any weight that will sap and bring down your spiritual mind. Listen, I cannot afford to be spiritually weak. I need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I'm in a spiritual war, and I'm trying to help others and feed others and help others. And I can't afford to have people weary and sleeping on the job and sleeping. If some of you are sleeping in church, go home and go to bed and sleep.
Amen.
This isn't a place to sleep. This is God's house, and we need God's strength for the war. And let me tell you, even the strongest get weary oftentimes because of sin. I'm thinking of the man that I've told you about so many times, but I can't help but talking about him again. He'd go to church. He'd say, "Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit power. Fill me with the power of the Holy Ghost." And he would come back every prayer meeting and pray that prayer. Finally, his wife couldn't take it anymore. She stood up and said, "Lord, don't do it. He leaks. Do you know some of you, you're leaking out what you get on Sunday morning, Sunday evening. You leak it out by the time you get to Monday or Tuesday. You say, "Why do I leak?" Because of sin. And it leaks you out because of weights. And there are those that, and you get into these vain arguments and vain discussions with people. All they want to talk about is everything around Robin Hood's barn or what they're interested in. I like what Dr. Ware used to say. He said, "You're talking trash." And he would bring us right back to God and back to the Word and back to revival, the source of, and oh, what a man of God he was. And we need more of that. Are you on fire for God? And I'm just saying, some people will, if you spend enough time with them, they will sap your spiritual energy and become a weight and slow you down. Sometimes young people or any person gets tired or weary, though in a good way. It's not all bad. Sometimes they get tired because they've used their strength for God. You know, I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you, and a lot of people need to understand that's about a preacher. When I come to the climax of my week on Saturday and Sunday, that's the climax of my week. And that's all the effort. And by the time Sunday night happens, at the end of this service, I am tired. And I have left it all on the field. Not a good time maybe to talk to me after I leave here. It's all right when I'm here, but after I leave here, maybe not a good time to call me, generally speaking, unless it's an emergency. But I'm just saying that that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. In the early church, you know, they prayed and God gave them His power in the book of Acts. And what'd they do? They went out like we heard tonight, soul winning on Thursday or Saturday, and they were leading people to the Lord. And then, so they prayed, they got power, then people got saved because they were proclaiming the gospel. First, they proclaimed the gospel, and people got saved. And then what happened? And I never want to leave this out. They started getting persecuted. You know, you're going to have some doors slammed in your face. You're going to have some opposition. Why? Because, you know, you're using your strength and now you're getting hit back. And what did they do? They went and got more strength. Amen. They got it from God. And when that axe head in Elisha's day fell off in the river, they got that axe head and it was borrowed and they got it back. And they were able to cut that tree down. And you need that power of God back after you've used it up. You need to get it back so that you can go forward. And so I'm talking to you tonight how you can avoid failing from weariness. Number one, by knowing that the Lord never gets weary. Number two, by knowing that the Lord gives you a portion of His strength to meet the challenges that you have in serving God. Number three, by knowing that even the strongest get weary. There's a bad way to get weary for sin, but there's a good way to get weary. And then you need more strength from God when you get weary. And because you're serving God. Hey, are you using up your strength that God gives you to give it out to others? This is the Christian life. You get what you need from God, and you give it out to others. And then you're empty again, and you need to get more. Are you doing that? Or is you doing all this? My name is Jimmy, God. I'll take all you can give me, and then... My wife gets things, and she distributes food to help people. And she's wise at how she does it, and... She's just letting it flow through her. I'm just saying, we can do that with God's grace, and we need to take in, yes, but we need to give it out. I want to say one more thing tonight, and I'll be done. How can you avoid failing from weariness? Number four, by your continual waiting upon the Lord to change your weakness in for His strength. Look at verse 31, great promise. By the way, Marion, this was Denny's favorite verse, one of his favorite verses. It says, But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Now, I want you to notice the word but there, but, and that's in contrast to the whole idea of failing from your being weak. Remember, we said that this is how to avoid it. How to avoid falling down in the job. How to avoid being weak. You know, Peter was weak. You know why Peter was weak? And he fell down in the job and he couldn't stand up to the challenge to witness for Christ in the hard time. You know why? Because when he was supposed to be praying with Jesus, he was sleeping. There are times when we need to wait upon the Lord. Apostle Paul talked about times of watching and praying. Getting up early, Jesus did, before day and praying. He called Peter and the disciples to pray with him. It says, but. And that is the opposite of failing by being weak. And we know that there's another word here we need to look at, and I want you to look at it. It says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall, what's the next word after shall? Shout it out.
Renew.
Say it again.
Renew.
Renew. And you know what? That means to exchange. So you can take your weakness, hand it to God, and exchange it for fresh power. You know, every day we need fresh power. You got a cell phone? Don't you plug it in every night? How many of you plug in your cell phone at night? Why do you do that? Because it runs down during the day, and you know that you want it to be renewed. God says, I have all the strength you need. You need to use what I give you to serve me, but now you need to go back to me and get recharged. You need to get renewed. You need to turn in your weak battery, and I'll give you a charge battery. Sometimes when I'm preaching up here, I'll go to Bobby or Alicia or somebody in the sound room there, and that little green light turns to be what color, Bobby? Red. And they know it needs a new battery. So all I do, I don't put the new battery. I just give it to Bobby or to Alicia usually. And they change it and put in a fresh battery for me. And give it back to me. And say, here, go preach from that now. God will do the same thing for you.
Right.
He'll do it every day for you.
Right.
And by the way, He'll do it more than one time a day for you if you need it, because I say it, you can't live tonight on this morning's grace. I need something fresh. By the way, that's why some churches don't have a Sunday evening service, because they're not getting anything fresh anyway. And they don't have a Wednesday service. And I don't know how these preachers make it 100,000 plus a year, and I see them all the time, and they are having one service a week. It's ridiculous. It's a sham. They ought to quit and get a real job. I'm just saying that God says that you need to wait upon Him, and you need to exchange your weakness and get His strength. Proverbs 24:10 says that, and you may say it this way, it says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. I wonder, have you ever fainted in the day of adversity? Have you? Raise your hand if you ever have. Amen. Good. I'm glad we got some honest people here. You fainted in the day of adversity. And then, you know, I looked this up, and I looked at Isaiah 40:31, and I found out there's no reason to faint in the day of adversity. There's no reason to get weary. There's no reason to faint in the day of adversity. And interpreting that, Proverbs 24:10 with Isaiah 40:31, you could put it this way. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is not God's strength. It's your own strength, and your strength is not enough to meet the challenges of the hard times. You see, your strength may do for ho-hum living, but not for God's work, not for God's will. Not doing what I've been doing, not doing what other saints in this church have been doing. You can't do it. You've got to wait upon the Lord and exchange your weakness and get His strength fresh, fresh. And you do that, don't you, Matthew? I know every day between 4:30 and 5, Brother Matthew, he just turns right off. I tried to call Brother Matthew. I was out on bus ministry knocking on doors. He's been out all day. I know he was. I tried to call him about 4:45, and the phone was out of order. I said, I know what he's doing. He's recharging his batteries. He said, Pastor, I got to do that. If you want me, I got to do that. I said, I understand, man. And this message for you. I understand that, man. I appreciate that. And the question is, are you doing that? Are you renewing your strength? Or do you get up in the morning and say, man, that cell phone, it's powered up. Now I get right on that cell phone. No, that's not the idea. You're supposed to get right in this book right here. This is the first thing you need to do in the morning, Brother Jesse. And we need to get right in this book and get before God in prayer and wait upon Him and turn in our weakness and say, Lord, I need your strength. I do it every time before I get in this pulpit. If you get anything from this pulpit, it's because people are doing that for me. And I'm doing that for me, amen, because I'm doing it for you. And when you do that, when you wait on the Lord in that way, you know what He does? He said, you're going to mount up with wings as eagles. You're going to run and not be weary. You're going to walk and not faint. And I've said this before, I'll say it tonight. Nowhere does it say, and then you're going to fall down on the job and God have to drag you back. No, if people have fell down on the job, it's because they've turned to drugs or they've turned to pot or they've turned to something else to cope with life, and it wasn't enough, Brother Steve, for them. It wasn't enough. We need God's strength. And then when you have that, you will never have to fail or falter spiritually. You may physically, but you never have to do it spiritually. Because He promises, you'll not fall. I'll give you, God said, I have all the strength you need. I never get tired. I'll give you some of my strength as you need it to meet the challenges. And you need to know that no matter how strong you are, no matter how young you are, you can't do it without me, right? Without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. And number four, You need to be continually waiting upon me to exchange your weakness so you can have my strength. How not to fail because of weakness and weariness. May God help you to do it. Let's bow for prayer tonight. We've been talking about God's person, never